You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married.
So Linda, the current buzzword today is going to be reform. Reform the police.
Is that what you're agreeing to, Dr. Martinelli?
Well, it just really depends on what they're talking about with regards to reform. And I'm listening to Mayor Bottoms, the Atlanta mayor, you know, talking about, well, I'm going to dictate some orders immediately. And my intent is to reform the Atlanta Police Department. And everybody else is screaming all over the country, reform. Well, first they were screaming defund the police and dissolve the police. Now the current buzzword is, you know, reformation. We want to reform the police. And that's what all the Democrats are yelling. So I thought maybe we could have a discussion about reformation. And we can talk about reformation of law enforcement, but I'd also want to talk about the reformation of the civilian community.
Absolutely.
Because that's a community that needs some serious reformation. Anybody watch television recently?
Much more so than the police department does. Again, you know, just to say it for the millionth time, that there are hundreds of thousands of contacts with citizens of all colors.
Every single day.
And the amount that end up in any kind of a use of force is, what, 1%?
One point something.
Okay,
one to
so
almost
under 2%.
Under 2%, you'd be very, very accurate with that.
So where is this reform? This whole thing about the racist thing needs to be reformed, because none of this was racist. Other people use those words to incite people and to cause problems, and they make it something that's racist when it has never been racist.
You know, when we were talking about racial profiling, and we've talked about that on several of our, you know, coffee conversations, that might have been the case 40, 50 years ago, maybe 30 years ago, and it might still be the case with an extremely small minority of officers. But officers have been behaviorally profiling people of all walks of life, of all races and ages and cultures, since Christ was a corporal. Okay, that's what police officers do. That's what I did. That's what you did when you were on the job.
Absolutely.
Our stop and frisks, or shake, rattle, and rolls, or whatever you want to call
them. That's what we called them.
I know, that's why I mentioned it. Those were always predicated on behavior. We saw some sort of suspicious behavior. We saw sometimes on-view criminal behavior. And based on our reasonable suspicion or probable cause, we did what we call a Terry stop, or a shake, rattle, and roll.
And wrote an FI card, a field interview card. You know, the thing also is that back in the day, and I'm sure it's the same now, you knew the players in the communities. I mean, you knew the people. You're there every day. So you knew, like, who's friends with who and who would know about what. And those are people that you could go to try to get the information that you need to solve different crimes or to stop things from happening. Now they prevent the police from doing so much of that, which doesn't allow them to do the proactive policing that we used to be able to do.
You know, and, I mean, we're going to talk like cops for a second, all right? And any police officer that's ever been worth anything on the street knows that there is a very, very small percentage of the population that commits a very disproportionate amount of crime.
Yes.
Very small. And I don't care what race they are. I don't care, you know, I don't care what community it is. Every community has got their poop disturbers, and the people that we go out on calls for service time and time and time and time and time again. All right. How many times have you, rhetorical question, how many times have you been to the same apartment complex or the same house 20 or 30 times a year? right? I mean, that's not out of the ordinary at all. Why? Because a very small percentage of the population in every single community, again, commit a disproportionate number of calls for service and criminal acts.
Well, and I would say, Ron, that today's police officers are far less biased than they were even when in our day, okay? Far less. However, what I will say in addition, and I don't know your experience, I only know mine, I never saw bias from officers on the job that I was around at any given time. They always acted professionally. Some were a little rougher than others. Some were more into talking. Some were more into acting. And I'm not talking about beating people or anything like that. But I always saw professionalism. So for my experience, and I worked in a predominantly Black area. I mean, almost 100% Black area. By the time that I left, it was there was a lot of other races that were moving in. Sure. And the demographic changed.
Yeah. And that's called target zoning, and it's a sociological fact.
Sure. But I never had a problem working with anybody there. I never had a problem, between myself being a white woman and the races. I never had a problem. So this to me, I just feel sure that 99% of officers feel the same way that I do, that they just don't see it. They do their job. And one more thing, when you talk about racially profiling, I mean, honestly, let's just be really straight. Sometimes you need to, because you get a call and it says, you know, the suspect is da 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 da.
A particular color, yeah. Right? A particular race.
Do you expect people to do?
You do remember, I worked gangs for a whole bunch of years. And let's take Asian gangs, Southeast Asian gangs. And I worked Vietnamese, Cambodians, Laotians, and Hmongs. And, you know, your description would go out, you know, it would be Asian male adult. And, you know, I'm not looking for Black people, and I'm not looking for white people. Okay.
Right,
I'm not
right.
looking for Hispanics. I'm looking for Asian males. The next thing I need to find out, is it a Vietnamese? Is it a Cambodian? Is it a Laotian, or is it a Hmong? And, you know, but we are, in that particular case, you are, if you want to call it racially profiling, yeah, you're racially profiling because your description of your suspect is a specific race.
Yeah, there are times when it's necessary.
Right.
So as far as reform, when they talk about reforming the police departments, I'm not sure that they want to take away the carotid holds. They want to take away tools that police use that really, oddly enough, as mean as they sound, and they're not, but they're only used in situations that it's necessary. That if you think about the alternative, what would you rather an officer do? Take a gun out and shoot somebody?
Well, you know, I'll give you a wonderful example. And I'll just use myself. I'm a carotid restraint instructor. And I will tell you that I would only pull that tool out of my toolbox when I was in a knockdown, drag out fight with a drug induced individual, someone that could have done me serious harm. I mean, I'm seriously in a knockdown, drag out fight. And don't forget, you know, when they talk about unarmed suspects, don't forget that every officer that encounters an unarmed suspect and then subsequently gets into a fight with them, you know, a knockdown, drag out, you're on the ground rolling around, the officer brings the weapons to the suspect. And people need to remember that 12 to 14% of all officers that are killed by assailants in a fight are killed with their own weapons. They're killed with a flashlight. They're killed with a baton. They're killed with their own handgun. I mean, I can't tell you how many cases that I've investigated that, or actual cases that I know about.
And lately there have been a number killed and injured by people using vehicles.
You know, that's exactly right. So in that case, you've got a, you know, 3,000 pound lethal weapon. But I want to just stay on a couple of specific areas of reformation that really bother me. And so when I hear these different mayors of these cities, and by and large, they are Democratic mayors and they have a Democratic administration, and these cities have consistently cut the training budgets of law enforcement officers.
Yes.
I've been a law enforcement trainer for what, 45 years now. And one of the biggest problems that I have as a law enforcement trainer, and you know, I've discussed this with you a million times, is that they keep cutting the budgets for training when the officers desperately need the training. There are so many officers and so many agencies out there that are under-trained, and it is the city administration, it is the mayor, it is the city manager, it is the city council, it is the county board of supervisors that vote to cut the training budgets. When budgets in law enforcement are cut, the first place they cut is training. And some of the low budgets for training is absolutely abysmal. And then when the officers are undertrained and they don't act appropriately, or they become confused, or they use force excessively, you know, they run and throw down the race card instead of the training card, and they don't accept the ownership and they don't accept the responsibility that they themselves are cutting the training budgets. I'll pick the state of California with the Commission on Peace Officer Standards and Training. That is an extremely underfunded training agency. And I mean, they don't even, in many, many cases in the state of California, they don't even reimburse the training anymore. And in states like Texas, there is no reimbursement for training. That money comes right out of the agency's budget. And I mean,
they have to get that money by the goodwill of the people, the mayor or the city council or the commissioners or whoever it is that is in charge of giving them the money. And they often don't.
And you're exactly right. And, you know, there are many agencies across the United States, and including in the region that we live in, Texas, where they have police foundations, right? They have organizations that support the police. And what do those, you know, organizations do? They help fund police training, help fund police equipment. They help fund police programs. And so the police can get out into the community and operate efficiency and operate professionally. And I'm just, it drives me nuts when I hear about this reform. Go ahead.
Just this evening, you and I were watching Deadliest Catch, okay? The crabbing,
yeah, we
the crabbing guys,
yeah.
In Alaska, right? What a crazy job that is. Can you imagine those guys being put out on that boat with zero training or with a very minimal amount of training and having to do that job? And then when they get in trouble doing it, then they would get blamed. I mean,
get fired.
Yeah. Throw them off the boat. In any job, you need training. In police work, the training is has to be continued all of the time.
Right. We call it, especially like with laws of arrest and search and seizure, and we talk about de-escalation training, which is communicating, and with all of the levels of force, arrest and control techniques, defensive tactics, you name all the less lethal weapons, including lethal weapons, deadly force, those are called perishable skills.
Yes.
And because if you don't use it, meaning practicing and experiencing in the field, you lose it. Right. And that's a huge problem. And that's why officers need to be retrained in the same skill sets over and over and over and over again. But the agencies can't afford it. And why can't they afford it? because the damn administrations of the cities, the mayors, the city councils, the city managers, and the board of supervisors will not fund the officers so that they can be professionally trained.
And then they are the ones that are blamed when something happens. This is like just like this case in Atlanta, Ron, where the mayor fires an officer and he doesn't even have his due process. I'm sorry. Right. Yeah. He doesn't even have that. I mean, all of us in the country for everything and anything that we do are entitled to due process. So we are putting these officers in an impossible situation by not training them sufficiently, by asking them to go out and protect our lives, our property.
Risk their lives to protect our lives.
And they do it every single day.
Yeah, they do. And you know what? I'm not going to get in to the officer-involved shooting, this latest one of Rashard Brooks in Atlanta, Georgia. I mean, there'll be a time and place for that. But I will also opine very simply that it's not the George Floyd scenario, okay, in Minneapolis. That's not what was happening here. Well, you know, Linda, what I want to do in a little bit is I do want to continue our discussion with reform and ask the question, you know, who else needs to be reformed? Because after the Michael Brown shooting, which was Ferguson, I wrote an article that said, who needs to de-escalate?
Yes.
And you remember that article and it received...
I also wrote a similar article.
Okay. And it received just a ton of very positive comments. And in that article, I talked about how it's the public that really needs to be trained in de-escalation. And again, when you look at television and you look at this recent case with Rashard Brooks, you take a look at that case. And the officers were doing an admirable professional job trying to work with Mr. Brooks, you know, who was definitely under the influence of alcohol, wasn't making much sense at all, was clearly attempting to deceive the officers. And then when they went to take him into custody, which should have been a peaceful handcuffing for, a low-grade misdemeanor, all hell broke loose. And, of course, it results in the tragic, death of a suspect. I won't even say in the custody of police because he really never was in the custody of police. He resisted arrest the entire time. So let's do this. Let me grab a cup of coffee for you and me, and let's get back to this whole discussion on reform and who else needs it.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist, death investigator, and host of A Threat of Evidence on America Out Loud. Are you a fan of CSI shows and documentaries? Are you fascinated with how death investigators like me solve high-profile death cases like you see on the news? If so, then I encourage you to join me as I unpack some of the most high-profile police and civilian-involved death cases in my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. Read all about the forensic evidence you never heard on the evening news. You can get a copy of my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, today by ordering it on my forensic site at www.dronmartinelli.com. DRRONMartinelli.com. And remember, without truth, there is no justice.
AmericaOutLoud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. As we celebrate our four-year anniversary, thank you for making it all possible. Well, shouldn't news deliver truth and inspire us to reach higher? With blogs, podcasts, video, and 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Hello, Well, I got you a real nice cup of coffee here, and I hope you'll enjoy it. I'm actually not going to drink any coffee right now, but I am up in arms about how this narrative continues to change against law enforcement. And of course, you know, in my book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, I talked about all of the stages that we're going through right now. And we saw a number of those stages of civil unrest and the whole disenfranchising and distancing of law enforcement. And I said that in the future, the two next phases in the Black Lives Matter 4D plan is going to be, and also their Campaign Zero plan that I wrote about in the book is going to be defund and dissolve. And that's where we are right now. But, you know, I want to talk to you about who really needs reformation besides the police. And I truly believe it's the civilian population.
Well, I do too. But before we talk about that, what are the reformations that you think that the police department need?
Well, I don't disagree with people like Mayor Bottoms of Atlanta that says that the police need, you know, more training. I mean, that's what we do for a living, and that's what our company, ETC Forensic, is all about, providing even cheaper, more cost-effective training that's available in the cloud 24/7 for officers that could, you know, they can get it at home. They can pick it up on any smart device, for God's sakes. They can be training when they're in their police cars. And so there are a lot of different alternatives to training that are very good and affordable for municipalities and for law enforcement agencies. So I absolutely agree on that. De-escalation training. There is not enough funding for de-escalation training nationwide. We blew billions of dollars over the last few years since Michael Brown, the Michael Brown shooting that I just referred to. And I mean, hardly any of it, maybe a drop in the bucket, went to law enforcement. And all these people that are screaming about de-escalation training, including these mayors, especially these Democratic mayors, why didn't you fund the de-escalation training in your own department? And it's a perishable skill. Why don't you double the amount of de-escalation training that your officers get?
Right. And that is not happening nationwide. It's disgraceful, the lack of training that they're giving officers. But they also want to take away qualified immunity. Who would want to be a police officer if for everything that they do, some lawyer's out after to sue them? You cannot do that with police officers.
And I know a lot about qualified immunity. We call it Monell cases. It comes from the case law of Monell versus the New York City Department of Social Services. And it became a United States Supreme Court case. And, you know, for our friends and listeners that don't know what the whole issue of qualified immunity is, it's really it's twofold. It's a municipal allegation against the city where whatever they're doing, their formal or informal customs and practices are so bad, so egregiously negligent that they create a situation or a circumstance that's deliberately indifferent to the civil rights of people in the community or individual plaintiffs. And then with respect to officers need to be granted qualified immunity if they're acting according to their law enforcement training and what we call codified law enforcement practices and standards of care. And this is, I mean, in short, it's the education and training that officers receive at the academy and in-house training. It involves state and federal case law. It involves state statutes. Department policies is important for a state case, but not in a federal case. And by the way, the reason why the court decided on qualified immunity was because there was too much frivolous litigation against municipalities and officers.
Well, and there's still a lot of litigation. And police can and do make mistakes. But again, if they are acting appropriately within the guidelines,
that's right,
they are human. And nobody even wants to give them that. But I want, you know, let's go back to who needs reform. And I agree with you. We've both written articles about this. The public needs to be reformed. They need to understand what their civil rights are and what they aren't, what their responsibilities are and what they aren't. And
they need to be taught that it's really a mandate that they respect authority. You can't do this level of resistance against police officers, and the state and federal courts have said this unanimously. The street is not the venue for an argument with an officer. That's why we have courts of law and something referred to as due process.
Exactly, which they're not giving the officers at this time. So what we need to do is go back to square one. We need to go back to the education of people, and this starts in school, and it starts with families at home in educating children how to be respectful of authority. And honestly, Ron, what we see now is horrible. When you see these parents out in the street with their small kids, and the small kids are, you know, giving the finger to the police, and they're holding signs, and they're being disrespectful.
And they're being manipulated by the parents.
Yes. And this is what they're learning. I mean, this is where we're getting this disrespect. Why people think and why they buy into this narrative that the police nationwide are racist and that they're brutal it's absolutely false. Of course, yes, there are those that there's a bad egg everywhere. And I don't excuse that. And nor do the other officers excuse that. But you cannot lump everybody in that same pot and say that they're all bad. You can't.
One of the new phrases that I've been hearing this last week, and I know you've been hearing it, is this, what they refer to, what the protesters, what the activists, what the civil rights activists, the current buzzword besides reform is the school to prison pipeline. Have you heard that?
I've heard that term.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk about that. As a guy that's been an educator my entire life, okay, before I was even a cop, I'm a middle school teacher, I'm a high school teacher, before it was Dr. Ron, right? Before it was, you know, cop time. So who's created this situation over the last 30 years? It has been, and I'm sorry, I'm going to be political about this because it's the darn truth, and that is liberal, democratic school districts, school officials, principals, school boards, the Department of Education allowing this, both state superintendents of schools and departments of education. The Federal Department of Education, which I think is a ridiculous department, by the way. And what did they do? They agreed to revisionist history. They agreed to removing civics from school because kids don't get civics in school. And we've talked about this time and time again. This is where you learn about democracy. This is where you learn about socialism. This is where you learn about Marxist-Leninism and fascism and all of this. This is how you learn about how your local, state, and federal government work. This is how you learn about the Bill of Rights. This is how you learn about civics. This is how you learn about the rule of law and the protectors of the rule of law, which are police officers. They don't teach any of this.
And they also don't teach history that actually happened.
It's revisionist.
They have revised the history to be politically correct. And
anti-law enforcement,
yes,
and anti-democratic.
Absolutely. And I'm going to add two people to your blame list. Absolutely. Number one is teachers. Teachers that are teaching in our schools, what are they thinking that they have put up with this? That when these books came out, they didn't go to parents and say, look what's happening. Look what we're teaching. Were I a teacher, I would have quit before I would teach that garbage. That's number one. Number two, you want to say something about teachers?
I do want to say it because, you know, I'm a teacher, okay? A former teacher now. But I do want to say this, and it goes back to these teachers' unions. For instance,
yes, absolutely.
The union that I had to battle all the time because eventually I became a college administrator. And the union I had to battle all the time was the CTA, the California Teachers Association, a huge, powerful.
You and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. And guess what? I'll be honest with you. Arnie and I both lost. We both got our butts kicked. Okay. Because that is such a powerful lobby. It's a well-funded, powerful lobby. And of course, it is just liberal up the wazoo. And there are wonderful, wonderful, heroic, I will say heroic, teachers out there that try to do the right thing, that try to educate the kids the right way, that want to do everything that you're talking about. And they are shamed into cowering and threatened with losing their jobs. Just look at that professor. Look at that accounting professor. And I don't know what state it was in, but here's a guy that's been a wonderful, wonderful accounting professor at the university for 38 years. And, you know, people want to go to the, you know, the George Floyd, you know, funeral or a protest or something like that. And they want to put off the final exam. And this guy is going in accordance with the rules and regulations of the university. And he says, no, we need to hold the exam when we need to hold the exam. And as a result of him just trying to follow the rules and regulations, he's shamed, he's chastised, he's threatened, and thousands of students sign a petition to remove him. And of course, he's got tenure, but they want him to resign. Come on, what are we talking about? And it just, the education system has been controlled by liberal Democrats and progressives, and in some cases, Marxist, for at least 30 or 40 years. How can they, if they want to blame somebody for what you call, you know, your school to prison pipeline, y'all should look in the mirror, because you're the people that developed the system. Conservative people wouldn't have run this program the way it's being run.
Well, they stopped allowing children to be disciplined in school. They made everybody, you know, everybody had to play the same, and you couldn't play any certain games anymore out in the recess. And, you know, they just changed everything. They wussified the kids.
Well, they went down to the bottom denominator. Instead of lifting kids up and motivating them, they've gone to the bottom denominator, and that's who they're placating, and that's who they're scared of. They're scared of the people in the bottom denominator.
And that hurts the kids that are at the top, because they are not challenged enough anymore. So the other people that I want to lay blame on, though, Ron, is parents. And parents, wittingly or unwittingly, have given over the raising of their kids to teachers. They have let the teachers feed them breakfast, feed them lunch, you know,
it's actually,
take care of
it's,
them
it's, after it's actually
school.
Expected. It's expected.
Yeah, the it's expected.
Feed them.
Take care of them after school and come home and play video games, and there's no interaction. Parents don't know and haven't known for a long time. And I'm not blaming this generation of parents. I'm going way back to, like you say, 30 years.
And I absolutely agree with you.
Where parents have not known what's happening with their school books, even if they go to a PTA meeting. And I was at PTA meetings where I listened to, you know, somebody stand up and say, yeah, you know, well, we have new school books this year. And so, no, I want to look at those books. Okay, I don't think that 90% of parents do look at the books.
No, I would say it's even higher than that, Linda. I really do. I think this whole COVID thing has been a total wake-up call for parents. So
and that's my hope, Ron. Yeah. I hope that people, and I was going to say that I hope that they use this as a wake-up call, and I hope that they see what's happening in the schools. Because look at what you're seeing on the streets, and look what you're seeing in the Chaz/CHOP district in Seattle now. This is what you get from that.
That's exactly right. You know, you reap what you sow. And this is what they have, you know, sown going back 30, 40 years. But you know what? Let me go even farther back. You know, we're going to talk about reformation.
Yep.
Let's reform the entire issue of parenting. Because what do we have in a lot of these inner cities? We have young men impregnating teenage girls and then abandoning them. And we have those people that got married or those people that are living together with children that they made, right? Biological parents. And then the father leaves the house, doesn't marry the woman, the mother, and abandons the home. And so these young males, these young boys, and I would dare say young girls, are being parented by who, right? So, and you have multiple children in some houses, and you have a mother that is not working, has no job skills, and is now on various social welfare programs, and the kids are out on the street. So who is raising the kids? Other kids out on the street. And this is what I was so involved in as a gang investigator, because, you know, the street gangs actually become extended families.
Well, that's why they succeed.
Exactly. And as a matter of fact, I've seen this, and you've seen this so many times with various gangs, that the kids involved in these gangs have more loyalty and allegiance and more respect for the other kids that are in the gang than they do for their own mom and or dad.
Well, quite honestly, because they get more attention from those people, and every human being craves that.
Right. And our society puts up with it. And as a matter of fact, they enable it and they empower it. And this, again, is the problems when you have a very liberal government and democratic leadership, which is so weak. They don't want to give a kid or a parent a hand up. They want to give them a handout.
Exactly. And then they want to give them more handouts and more handouts. And this gets them nowhere. That the human nature is to have self-pride and to want to succeed, but we take that away from them when we just give them handouts. And why should they work? Just like what they're doing right now by overpaying people for unemployment.
And that's exactly right. And you'd have to look at it two ways. Either the politicians who created that situation are just absolutely so stupid and incompetent that they never saw that coming, or that was done by design. So let's have our last cup of coffee, because what's left of my hair is on fire and I got a lot more to talk
about. Okay.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep, but it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
Well, thanks for the coffee. I should have asked for some whiskey or something in there, because, you know, it's getting kind of hot in here.
But, it's me. I'm throwing all that hot air out.
staying on reform. Who else needs reform? Our politicians seriously need reform. I mean, this is the worst set of politicians I've ever seen in my lifetime. It's gotten really out of control. They honestly don't know what they're doing. I would gather to say that they would not know how to balance their own checkbook, much less run a city or any kind of a government.
Well, you know, how many times have I said to you that unfortunately we are ruled by people that you wouldn't trust to park your car or walk your
exactly.
dog? Exactly. All right. And the thing that bothers me is the confluence of complete ignorance combined with a plan that's a power plan. All right. So all of this stuff that comes out of their mouth is by design. Now, they say stupid things that you and I, which are, you know, we're common sense people, we listen to that and we go, that's stupid, or that's just a bold-faced lie. You know, I mean, for instance, what's her name? Is it Stacey Abrams, the one from Georgia, who they're looking at is a potential
vice president
for Biden, for Sleepy Joe. And so she's talking about the Rashard Brooks officer-involved shooting. And I know we've talked a little bit about that today, but I listened to her on an interview, and it's a national interview, and she says, a man is killed for sleeping in his car. A man is killed for sleeping in his car. That had nothing to do with why he was killed or the circumstances that created the resistance, that created the whole issue with the disarming the officer of his taser and shooting the taser at him. And, you know, that whole thing that led to the man's death.
But how unfair.
Was he asleep in a car? He was absolutely asleep in the car. But that was the beginning of the police contact. But after he was removed from the car, that's a whole new story. So what does she do? She forwards the completely false narrative that this man was killed because he was sleeping in a car. The police killed a black man, an unarmed black man, because he was sleeping in a car. And look how uneducated the vast majority of the people are who just listen to television, watch the news, and everything that comes out of people's mouths, they believe it.
Well, and that, in my opinion, is inciting further violence, further rioting, further looting, further all kinds of misbehaviors.
Now, that's done intentionally, because you can't possibly be that stupid. There comes a time where you have to transition past ignorance, and now you're just a liar.
Well, and you have to tell the people the truth. And I think that the people are so tired of being lied to and never knowing what's true. But those people that are Stacey Abrams fans are going to believe what she has said. And that is so unfair to the victims that are going to be hurt by the violence that is going to be caused from what she said. That is irresponsible. And this is where I say our politicians need to be reformed. We voters need to be reformed. We need to learn how to vote properly and stop this. I'm a Democrat, I'm a Republican, I'm a liberal, I'm a conservative. Vote for what makes life better for you and your children.
You know, Linda, a while back, it wasn't too long ago, it was a couple of months ago, you wrote a really wonderful article, and it's on the America Out Loud platform. So I hope people go over to Linda Martinelli and take a look at many of your, you know, wonderful articles. And you made the analogy of politicians being dysfunctional parents.
Yes.
You remember that? You know, and we are dysfunctional children, and who are we looking at? We are looking at the leaders, and they are completely dysfunctional. And you posed the rhetorical question of, you know, can you see now why everything is so dysfunctional and so chaotic? Because look at our parents, you know, look at the leaders in the United States.
Well, look at Nancy Pelosi wearing the
African shawl,
the
white slave owner's shawl.
I mean, everybody's kneeling, taking a knee. I mean, this is our politicians. Come on, they need to be the grown-ups in the room, and they are not. And they are not leading. They are inciting, and they are. I don't honestly know how anybody who could take that job could be so irresponsible to the people of America.
So if we're talking about reform, and you and I are in favor of reformation of the community, we both agree that there are definite reforms that need to take place in law enforcement, and obviously funding training is one of them. But there has to be some ownership, there has to be some accountability from the general public. And, you know, they're talking about, you know, defunding law enforcement. Why don't we defund the states and defund the municipal budgets that go to stuff that is just a complete waste of money? And if you want to take that money and put it back in the community, let's put it back in the community where we feel it should go, like training people, like training young men and young women about pregnancy and about and not using just Planned Parenthood, which just gives out, you know, prophylactics and birth control pills and does abortions.
And abortions, yeah.
Why don't we teach people the sanctity of life? Why don't we teach people don't get pregnant, don't give in? Why don't we teach young men not to impregnate, take advantage of young females and impregnate them and then abandon them? You know, why don't we teach proper parenting school skills? And then why don't we get back in and audit our educational system, this thing that they're referring to as a pipeline to prison, and take out the parts that really, based on our experience as police officers, what really creates the pipeline that sends people to prison? Why don't we change those history books? Why don't we get some truth in there? Why don't we bring civics back in the classroom? Why aren't we doing the Pledge of Allegiance anymore? Why aren't we talking about the good things about the United States of America instead of trying to disillusion these young men and women so they end up hating America, and you see the end result in Seattle, Washington, and across this country?
Well, and the reason is because that is the result that is wanted by the people that are doing this, and they're getting it. So, you know, you look at this area of CHAZ, CHOP, whatever it's now called.
Well, it looks like they're getting a focus group. You know, okay, what are we going to call it this week? What resonates with the people? It's like a marketing strategy.
Well, they've decided that now they don't want to secede, where at first they said they wanted to secede. But they're in complete disarray. They don't know who they want to be their leader. The people that are living in there are afraid. And people have spoken out under condition of anonymity because they are afraid. And they've said, this is horrible. I mean, people are shooting all night. People are banging on my gates all night. I'm afraid in my home. Is this what you want, America? I mean, is this type of society where there are no police allowed in the area? And even Carmen Best said that she can't even get to the rape victims or the robbery victims in there.
Okay, can we talk, okay, Carmen Best, because this is a person I clearly don't like. I'm not going to hide my feelings about Chief Best, a puppet of the Seattle mayor, Durkin. But did you see she was being interviewed today, and she talked about when she was walking, you know, downtown in the CHAZ with the protesters, she had an epiphany. And
yeah.
Did you see?
She had an epiphany.
So what was your epiphany, Chief? Oh, my epiphany is that law enforcement is never going to be the same. You know what? What kind of an idiot are you? Where the heck have you been? Were you in a cave when Ferguson came? Were you in a cave when Rodney King happened, which was my first case? Where have you been?
She should have had an epiphany when they were trying to break into her police station and had her officers stand strong and not allow them shut down their police station.
Oh, no. There was no epiphany there. And the reason there was no epiphany there is because this idiot, cowardly chief of police was too busy kissing the rear end of Mayor Durkin and not giving the mayor good advice because she wants her job so much. All right. And you know, I hope this woman does not end up becoming some sort of celebrity and write a book or something like that, because Carmen Best is one of the things that need to be reformed out of law enforcement.
Absolutely.
These weak leaders.
The weak leaders, and she is a perfect example of one. It's embarrassing to have a police chief like Carmen Best. And I'm sorry to say that. There's a lot of strong women out there. She is not one of them.
And I hope she's not, if she would leave, and I think Durkin and her are buddy buddies. And you notice how neither one of them accept responsibility.
Yes.
of the police abandoning the East Precinct.
Well, isn't that your politicians for
right?
You? That nobody takes accountability for the problems that they cause. And again, I have to say that these cities that are in all of this trouble seem to all be run by Democrats.
Well, you know, we talked about that a couple of coffee conversations ago, where we brought up I think we brought up 10 or 15 on each side of the largest cities in the United States. And I think out of the 30, I mean, the vast majority were run by Democrats. And then you had two independent mayors of major cities, and the rest were run by Republicans. But literally every single city that was run by Democrats was an abject failure, full of rioting and looting, people being shot, people being killed, police departments being abandoned, precinct houses being abandoned. I mean, it's just been absolutely ridiculous. We do not need this type of weak leadership in law enforcement today. But unfortunately, that's what we have. We just have bureaucrats and puppets and not people that know anything about the street, nor have any respect for officers that do work the street and really take the risks.
Well, and you can talk about some of the historical great police chiefs. I mean, Chief Davis in Los Angeles, Chief Gates was excellent.
Well, Chief Bratton, in New York City was probably, I think, outside of Teddy Roosevelt, right, who was one of the first police commissioners in the city of New York. I think, Chief Bratton, certainly, in my lifetime as a police officer, and I've met Chief Bratton in Los Angeles when I was doing some training there. In my mind, he is probably one of the greatest police commissioners in the history of the New York Police Department.
Well, I'd love to see him either in Seattle or Chicago right now.
You know what? I don't think he'd go.
I don't think he'd go right now. I mean, it's just a wish that somebody like him would take over those cities and clean them up.
Well, you know, I remember, post Rodney King days, right, after Chief Gates was gone, and then they brought in that idiot Willie Williams, who only lasted for about a year. And then I think there was one other chief that was there, and then he left in disgrace. And they brought in Bratton. And Bratton was police commissioner. I think he'd either just retired or was getting ready to retire from New York City. And he took the job in Los Angeles. I think he was there 7 or 8 years. And I will tell you what, he was extreme. And I thought, boy, this is going to be interesting. East meets West, right? And he ended up doing an amazing job, getting a tremendous amount of respect from those officers and really turning that department around. You want to talk about reform. The Los Angeles Police Department was having some issues, and Chief Bratton went in there and reformed that department.
Because all people, all officers need good leaders, and a good, strong leader in our country, as I think President Trump is, or in a police department, in the military, the strong leaders are extremely important.
Well, I think, like they say, the cream rises to the top.
Yes.
But as far as reformation, you know, let's get rid of these weak leaders in law enforcement. But you know what? Here's the pessimistic part of me. I just don't think it's going to happen. As a matter of fact, I think the opposite's going to happen. I think we're going to get more weak police chiefs and maybe even some sheriffs which are elected. I think we're just going to see more puppets and more people scared of their jobs. And one of the things, and this is one of the chiefs of police that work for me at Martinelli and Associates, and we have two chiefs of police that work for us as consultants. He said to me once, you shouldn't take a chief's job if you're scared of getting fired on the first day, right? You know, you should always think that you could be fired on the first day or on the second day or on the third day or after the first week. He goes, if you're concerned about being fired from the job, you should never take the job of chief of police.
The only way that this is going to stop is by changing the politicians and getting the politicians in that believe in the rule of law and believe that their job is to protect the public and to, you know, do the job that they're there for.
I absolutely agree with you. Well, Linda, this has been a wonderful conversation tonight, and I just wanted to remind our listeners that you can catch Dr. Ron and Linda Martinelli on Talking While Married Monday through Friday nights on AmericaOutloud.com. And we are on at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, and 5 o'clock in the evening Pacific Standard Time.
Right. And if you miss our show, you can catch us on our podcast. All of our shows go to podcast, and you can listen on Spotify, Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn. You can listen on Apple Podcasts. You can go to AmericaOutloud.com and check out all the ways that you can hear all the great shows on America Out Loud. And by the way, check out my columns on America Out Loud. I write a weekly column there, and my hair's on fire sometimes, but it works.
And listen, how you do that is when you get on the Talking While Married website, which is a really great and easily navigable website, just look for talkers and look for bloggers and look for Linda Martinelli. And you're going to see Linda's columns there. Also, pick me up, Dr. Ron Martinelli. I'm on Talkers, and you'll find my show, A Thread of Evidence, that appears on the weekends. So there's lots of opportunities to catch Dr. Ron and Linda Martinelli on Talking While Married. And don't forget that my popular book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, is available on the America Out Loud bookstore, which is a fantastic bookstore with all of our experts and all of their books. And also, you can catch it at drronmartinelli.com.
And you can send us a quick email there if you like what you hear.
And where they're going to do that is at drroncrime@gmail.com.